Anya and Tex were now Canadian citizens, complete with new passports and credit cards. As it had turned out, Leeview had had some surprising equipment tucked into a closet of his crowded flat, and once she had gotten to see it, Anya guessed that forgery had a lot more to do with the young Romanian's actual business model than systems invasion. According to their documents, they were now Alice Chapman, a schoolteacher, and Matthew Wachowski, a Ministry of Health investigator, both from Toronto and happily married for going on 3 years. They had spent the night in neighboring rooms at the posh Westin Grand Berlin, under the false papers the hacker had provided. Tex had wakened Anya bright and early, looking as eager as if he had slept for 14 hours, run 10 miles, and had himself a shower, a massage, and a pot of coffee. She almost hated him. She reminded herself that Tex was sparing no effort to help a couple of strangers. At least he seemed to be genuinely enjoying himself. The quickest route to their destination that Tex had been able to work out entailed a plane trip from Tempelhof to Edinburgh and then a train ride to Johanna Groats on the extreme northern end of the island. Anya understood that transportation could be slower going in this part of the world, but she couldn't help but chafe at every second it cost them. Yadja was in mortal danger. She had received a second message from the kidnappers, likewise disguised as a 419 scam. This one was supposedly from the daughter of dead Serbian strongman Slobodan Milosevic, of all people. Its return path showed it originated from the California Department of Motor Vehicles. It offered an email address for Anya to email, telling the captors when and where she'd turn over the scrolls. Anya did the only thing there really was to do at this point, deflect their demands by requesting more time. She just hoped that she didn't push it too far and find out once it was too late. The wait at the airport at Tempelhof was almost overwhelming Anya. She could barely mask her anxiety concerning Yadja's well-being. She didn't even realize it, but her face was a twisted mask of worry.
Thinking about her?
I can't help it.
Just try to take your mind off it.
So, where'd you get the nickname, Tex?
In the army. Most of my squaddies in basic were Easterners. To them, anybody from west of the Mississippi was Texan, especially someone who was indiscreet enough to admit he'd been a cowboy. Hate that name. That it stuck like a bad debt.
Why's that?
Because I hated it. The army's like that. And of course, the network publicist had to run with it.
Were you really a ranger?
Yep. Public record, but don't go believing everything you hear about me, especially around the network.
Okay. Were you really an adventure outfitter in Alaska and Africa?
Yep.
Survival instructor?
Uh-huh.
Medical bush pilot in Central and South America?
It's a fact.
You've been a busy guy, huh?
Ran away from home when I was 14. Worked in oil fields for a while and as a hunting guide. Wasn't hard to pass for older. I've been this size since 8th grade.
You ran away? Were you abused as a child?
Oh, heck no. The opposite, if anything. My parents were as nice as they come. If anything, too nice. They converted to Buddhism when I was 13.
Seriously?
Cross my heart. What really did it was the veganism. If I never see another chunk of tofu, it'll be 20 years too soon.
You ran away from veganism?
Can you think of a better reason? That and chores got boring. It was a real working ranch, cattle and horses, not some rich folks fancy. Not sure how my folks rationalize raising beef cattle as vegetarians, but they still do it, by the way. Being a cowboy ain't as romantic or as exciting as the movies make it out to be, though. Mainly, I ran away to get into some adventure. Now that I think about it, of all the reasons to run away, that's probably about the worst.
But haven't you, well, had adventures?
Yeah. That's exactly the problem. You've had adventures too, Anya. What'd they feel like?
Miserable. Mostly uncomfortable, inconvenient, and scary.
Me too. Face it, adventure sucks.
Ever thought about quitting?
Oh, hell no. It's an addiction. I never tried crack, never even smoked cigarettes, but I'm pretty sure the adventurous life hooks you worse than anything. Ah, what the hey. It's not like anyone gets out of this life alive, is it?
No, I guess not.
Jonna Groats was everything Anya's heart could have possibly dreamed. Damp, gray, windswept and dismal, and filled with sheep. Had the sun continued to shine, the land would have been dazzling green, but the sun refused to cooperate. Still, the outside was brilliant in comparison to the inside of the Jolly Wrecker pub, especially its back room, with its sweating, ancient wooden barrels and dust-coated bottles stacked around the sod walls. Despite the fact it was half dug into a hillock, the wind whistled in the rafters and occasionally down the back of Anya's neck, where she sat in a chair that seemed to possess no two legs of equal length. The pub had grass on the roof and a weathered sign with the image of a jolly-looking, peg-legged man dressed in a yellow rain slicker and sou'wester. Anya suspected the place had started life as a shepherd's hut hundreds of years before. Some places reeked of quaintness, others of atmosphere. The Jolly Wrecker mostly reeked of lanolin, although stale alcohol, mildew, and the faint scent of decay played their parts. The low wood-beamed ceiling seemed to threaten Anya's cranium as if she were in a ship's hold. Tex leaned forward and rested a forearm on the moist, round table. Luckily, his chair seemed to be slightly more stable than Anya's. Each time she breathed, one of its legs would lift off the ground and then bump back to the warped plank floor. The pubkeeper was a fat man with greasy gray and brown locks spilling down around the shoulders of the blue rain slicker he wore over a dark pullover. After letting Anya and Tex have a few minutes to settle in, he came around from behind the bar.
So, what can we do you for?
Information. We want information.
You won't be getting it here.
Tex's eyebrows shot up at the outright rejection, but then a smile split his face. An older woman, who looked to be the bartender's wife, strolled over to the table to join her husband. She obviously took note of the confusion on Anya's face.
There, there, dear. It's a quote from The Prisoner, an old series on the telly. Now be a dear, Phil, and show our guests a little consideration. They've had a long journey.
Sorry, love. Can't help myself. I cannot resist anything but temptation, you know.
That and bad jokes.
The man looked back to Tex with dark eyes that danced despite the gloom. He had a keg head on a barrel body, a beard and a mustache with turned-up tips, and in general a strong resemblance to the actor Oliver Reed, who had always been a favorite of Anya's. He looked like an old mod on the tail end of a life of extreme ups and downs.
Magic works?
Huh?
Tex blinked, still adrift at the stout man's earlier response. This abrupt but not unfriendly question pushed him further out to sea.
We'll pay.
The very ones!
The woman who sat beside him shook her head without looking up from her knitting. She had been introduced as Vicious Susie. What she looked like was a youngish Italian grandmother or an aging gypsy aunt. She had a big nose and dark eyes in a well-upholstered olive face, framed by long raven's wing hair and a heavy shawl that wrapped her generous form. Her dress seemed to have been made of a myriad of brightly colored scarves. Judging by her friendly demeanor and appearance, her name was clearly meant to be ironic. She showed an abundance of bustling motherly energy and cheer.
Phil, the email said they would. And anyway, dear Tex is family.
Yeah, it's always good to hear. Always make things explicit, say I.
That's the law of good old B6.
What's B6?
Black Bart's bloody buggering broadcasting brood.
And that is?
One of the last free-range pirate radio crews in the British Isles we are.
Well, you'll never hear the end of him and his brood unless I do the talking. What sort of information were you looking for now, love?
Anomalous traffic in the sea north of here.
Aye, boats, helicopters. I've been seeing them all the time, buzzing off to sea.
Do you know where they go?
Phil looked at Anya for a moment with an appreciative twinkle in his eye. With something of a shock, she realized he was ogling her. She didn't know whether to be horrified or flattered.
No idea, I'm afraid.
Do you think you can look into that for us?
I suppose Gannett can.
Who's Gannett?
Gannett Hundred Mind, our boy wonder in residence. He's all that keeps us on the air, you know.
Can you take us to him?
That depends. Just how adventurous are you feeling?
What makes me think that there's no right answer to that question?